At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning, happy Monday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on early break. Hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving weekend. Also, welcome to December, by the way, December 2nd, as we have a busy week ahead. We've got signing day on Wednesday, way before it usually is. First time it's been in the first week of December. Is that right?
Yeah, they're kind of doing signing day.
It's early signing day on Wednesday.
It's not quite what it used to be.
But no, it's not. How are you guys? Get the headphones
we're good.
Figured out?
Okay. Bill?
You guys got the wrong microphone? What's going on?
We were down there.
The plane.
We're off to a great start here.
Jake's got the plane up, though. We're fine.
Yeah, we're good.
The plane is ascending.
Wait, we're going.
It's ascending. We're all right. Like we're here. Bill's got. Oh yeah, we should have probably
Checked the headset.
Well, it's different than it has been for the last year.
There was a lot going on in studio. If you didn't notice,
but Terrell Farley is here as he is every Monday,
and he's on a heater.
He gets talking. He gets going as he does.
He had a lot of takes, and it's upset Ben.
He stole Ben's thunder.
Yeah, Ben had a lot of things to say. He's waiting for us, and Farley came in and kind of took it over.
Yeah, he did.
And there was good takes by all, but
yeah.
Ben, you'll get your time. So he'll be.
It wasn't enough time.
As
soon as break hits, Ben will be right there with a lot of things to say.
Yes. That's a given. That's a guarantee at this point.
Okay. Now you're in. You're in the cockpit now. Yeah, Bill's in.
Headsets are on. Mics are on. This is good.
Yeah, we're good.
We're going.
We're ready to
now.
Go. It's Monday. It's December 2nd. Right?
Yes.
December 2nd.
It's getting closer to Bill's favorite day of the year, the darkest day of the year, December 21st, where it's hello, second.
Darkness, literally, my old friend.
Literally dark the entire day, basically.
Oh, I'd love to have one Alaska day.
Would you?
And one Alaska, just like with just dark all
okay,
day.
Okay, yeah, I go with one. Yeah.
Yes, one. I mean, that's the extreme world they live in Alaska. They'll go 24 hours of sunlight and 24 hours of darkness.
Would you like that?
One year. I don't know about that. Either one. No, I would not. If at 2 in the morning it was sunny out, that would freak me out.
That would freak me out, too.
Yes. When we did the show Friday.
I got to wipe the sleep from my eyes.
With young Ben, we did it the entire show with the blinds down. Blinds are still down, and so we're not doing that.
Yeah,
so
come on,
we did
Ben.
We did the whole show.
So
that
his
way.
Takes were taken by Farley. Yes, he doesn't do his job, put the blinds up two straight
young
days.
Young Ben has...
Getting a little loose over here.
A little loose. Things are a little loose.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah, now they're up.
Blinds are up.
Yeah.
I got off to a rocky start here.
I was
Steve, we're rolling now.
We are rolling. It's Idle Chit Chat.
I was Steve Sipple for Idle Chit Chat on Friday. I knew driving in, I go, okay, Jake's out. He's doing the show from a dazed in swimming pool.
And
he'll be ready for that. Steve said he thought that he was going to maybe get on the show, but we knew there was no way. No one even considered even asking that because we're like, he's not going to be on the show.
I got a text at 4:37 a.m.
Yeah, I woke up.
And
I thought, let's not do this.
Yeah. Just, there's no.
But I was up. That's the thing. I probably could have. I mean, I was up and listening.
He was listening to the show.
Could have been on it and listened to it.
He was listening at 6:17.
I got on at 6:17. It was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
If I wasn't on the show, I was not listening to the show.
Well, I just thought it was going fine.
Oh, God, that's hilarious.
You could have chimed in.
But I stopped because I knew, so I go, okay, because Jake makes coffee every morning.
Oh, yeah.
And so that fires
and
me
up. And it wasn't.
Well, I knew Jake wasn't in, and I knew that I wasn't going to put that on young Ben. That was he had
did
a lot
you make
going
the coffee?
On. No, absolutely not. I stopped at McDonald's on the way in.
You did.
Oh, you did.
Yes.
Yes.
How did that go?
It went pretty. You know what? It's a pretty good system they got there. I'm telling you what, right now, there was like no one in line. I whipped right in. It was about 5:15, 5:20.
Do you remember which McDonald's?
Yeah, it was right by over by Early Bird.
By the okay. Bird. Yeah. Oh, yes, that over by Lincoln High.
Yes, yes, by Lincoln High.
I used to frink with that one.
Yeah,
if you want, I used to frink with that.
You want to see a place get absolutely just crushed, just be around there sometime around 11:15 when Lincoln High is getting out for like lunchtime. Oh,
yep. Experience.
There is a caravan of people heading over that direction.
Well, and it's hooked on to a convenience store.
It's a U-stop. Yeah.
Yeah, and that, so that place, it's nuts. Working there has to be insane.
You walk, it's one of those, like the one on West O. Yeah, like the one on West O where you walk from the convenience store and you could find yourself in McDonald's if you're not paying attention.
Mistakenly, it's all of a sudden.
The pump and pantry that you're talking about.
The pump and pantry,
Over by Sun Valley Lane.
Anytime you see that there's a... My favorite is like a Hardee's or something that's connected to it. When you're like truck stop, you're also looking around buying some stuff at a truck stop, and next thing you know, you find, I'm in Hardee's.
Like this, the Flying J outside of Council Bluffs.
Yeah.
Taco John's, Wendy's.
Yeah. Just the go-to.
Yeah. It was a big Flying J. But anyway, good job. You whipped through there, huh?
Whipped through there. It was nice.
Proud of you for thinking ahead of that, Bill, knowing I wasn't going to be here. There'd be no coffee.
I thought about it the night before, but this is the best one. So Sydney, my daughter, was home, and I go, hey, can you find out what time? Cause I'll be whipping by there about 5:15, 5:20, what time McDonald's is open. She goes, I think they're open 24/7. I go, are you sure?
Not all of them.
Yeah, no. So she checked, and so we went to...
Is that one open 24/7?
Yeah, we went to Google, the search engine.
That one's open 24/7.
24/7, yes.
Yeah, because they're...
I think it's just easier for them not to close down. I think that's what it is. I think it's all
too much of a hassle.
I do. It's like, all of a sudden, it's like, what, 1 in the morning that's shut down for 4 hours?
I don't know, but... Yeah. I mean...
And they have the Christmassy-looking cups now. Like you have right there.
That might be a retirement job for me, the overnight at McDonald's. Seriously, it would be kind of interesting.
You want to see something funny? Because me and Jake Sorensen listened to it several times. Just watch the David Letterman live when he's doing Taco Bell. When he's when he's taking the orders at Taco Bell, the conversations he gets in with these people. Oh my God.
It's amazing.
It's just pure gold.
It is. I've seen it. Okay, Ben's here. Everybody's here.
I had a situation at the Iowa game.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you get
the idle chit chat? No.
Does this mean you got called a sore loser?
No. See this. No, that was at Green Bay.
Seem that bad.
That was the Packers game.
Sore loser.
You're a sore loser.
I got called a sore loser by a fan. You'd love losing by 19 points going to a different stadium, wouldn't you? I said, wow, you'd love being in my position going to a road game.
Dialogue.
I fired back. And you know what? She piped down after that.
That's
she
right. You taught her.
You're threatening.
I did.
You threatened a woman. Okay.
I did. No. Not like that. Anyways.
So it took a turn?
The situation in Iowa was, as you know, it was very, very cold in Iowa.
Yes.
We'll get to this game in a second. But there's a situation. I saw a lot of breakers, by the way. A lot of breakers yelled, hash hole to me walking by.
They recognized it.
Did appreciate that. I had a Dolphins stocking cap on.
There's the dead story. Giveaway.
Yeah, okay. What's the clue here?
Now, it was obviously very cold. And when it's very cold, I didn't want to freeze. I had a ton of layers on at this game. That's great when you're in the stands. The problem is you got to go to the bathroom. All right? And this is where you're going to appreciate this story.
Okay.
Okay. This is God.
The lines are long for the bathroom, and you've got thousands of layers to get through to even, you know, go to the bathroom. Somehow I was, you know, going to the bathroom and everything got messed up with what I was wearing. I had bibs, I had a coat, I had a shirt over the coat. I came out of the bathroom and it was all messed up.
Askew.
I see Jackson on the text in J Train. He says, good morning, Jake. I hope your coveralls didn't give you any more trouble after we fix them at the Iowa game. Breakers helping breakers.
So in the
Jackson
bathroom.
He finds me outside the bathroom.
this is really taking a turn.
As I am trying to figure out what in the hell went wrong. Everything is just in shambles here. I've got my coat went from on top of me. It's like below me by two layers. The bibs are on top instead of two layers deep. And Jackson's like, I got to help this guy out.
Good for Jackers.
It was like doing calculus outside the bathroom.
Really? You had that much on?
Oh, my God. If you guys saw a video of this situation of me and J Train Jackson trying to figure out what the hell happened to the clothes, you would not stop laughing for days. It was an absolute disaster.
It was a disaster.
And we never even fixed it. We got it to a point where it was acceptable to go back at the stand.
But a lot on.
It was bad. It was a bad situation. Thank you to J Train for trying to help out.
If I'd have walked into the bathroom and seen Jake Sorensen in his underwear, just standing there.
Underwear trying, was never exposed.
Trying to get reestablished.
It would have been funny.
Yeah. And especially with Jackson helping him.
Thank you to J Train for efforting. It didn't look like it was supposed to, but it was proper.
No incidents with Iowa fans.
No,
hold it. There's a little bit of a hesitation.
I had a moron ahead of us that was a little bit chatty. It was 10-0, and we said, nice punt. Oh, yeah, nice punt. Yeah, it was a nice punt, you idiot. Oh, yeah.
It's like, making me nervous.
Why? He finally, he went away after a while.
It was rough. I was around enough to hear the rough.
There were some really dumb Iowa fans in the stands that game. Really dumb.
There's
I'm
rough
just
talk.
Trying to be a fan. We're watching the game. I'm polite. I wasn't being an idiot, you know, firing people up and trying to get people's faces. I'm just watching the game.
Oh, it's rough.
I cheer for good plays.
It's rough.
And I'll, you know, if they do something good defensively, you cheer up too. And this guy's like, well, I said, nice punt. It didn't go to the 4-yard line. Wow, sue me. Wow, sue Buscini for not putting it at the 4-yard line. I had it. This guy was a moron. Just an absolute moron. So I never saw him after the first quarter, which is good. No, did not see him after the first quarter.
Probably good. Probably good.
Did you stay to the end, Jake?
I stayed to the very end of both the Packers-Dolphins game and the Iowa-Nebraska game.
Is that a 53-yarder, Drew Stevens?
Yeah, it was a 53-yard field goal by Drew Stevens.
I reported 52.
No, 53.
53.
Yep, stayed to the very end. Stayed to the gut punch.
I was down there. I was down there for the last 6 minutes, and yeah, it was...
It was a little chilly?
Chilly and wild. It was wild. The crowd is a... formidable crowd, Bill. Yeah. And when they do that let's go Hawks chant, that's a bloodthirsty chant. It is.
I've told you, it's an incredible place to play. If you're on the opposing team, you want to play in
those.
It's
kind of fun.
It's kind of fun. If you're a dude, you like playing in those or coaching in those games. It'd be like you guys going to Grand Island in hoops.
North Fork.
Yeah. Maybe they'd be North Fork would be better. You're right. You know what I'm saying? You want to go.
Oh, yeah, it's fun.
It's fun. It's like people are like dogging you out during warmups. Like, this is fun.
Oh, it's pretty rough. And I mean it. I don't want to compliment the Iowa fans because no Nebraska fan wants to hear that. But the Let's Go Hawks, when they were doing that, it is like a bloodlust chant.
I really don't recall it that way.
Yeah,
well.
they do it. And they know when to do it. And when you can tell, like, when, for instance, when the 34-yard field goal missed because of the bad snap, it started rolling. The Let's Go Hawks because they sense what's going on. Nebraska collapsing. And then when when IGC failed to yell poison, he did. And that ball, Iowa recovered the ball inside the four. The Let's Go Hawks chance got more bloodlusty because they knew what was going on.
Yep.
They're like, they're in our trap right now. They're in our trap. Yeah. It's like Nebraska fell into a trap. Like I fell into a trap. Yep. They fell into a trap. Yep. Yeah. It's like they know. Those fans know. It's like, okay, here it comes. And it came. Bam.
Well, let's get to the game. That is Idle Chit Chat, sponsored by our friends at
The Chat.
RenewYourAuto.com. Please call or text David at 402-833-3858 or go to RenewYourAuto.com and do everything from body shop, ceramic coatings, window tinting, spray, and bed liners, and more at RenewYourAuto.com.
We're doing mailbag quick.
Nebraska.
Throwing a mailbag.
Nebraska falls to Iowa 13-10.
Yes.
In a game that was really dominated by Nebraska, by all the stats. Again, stats do not tell the whole story, but Nebraska really handled Iowa defensively. They moved the ball pretty well offensively in general. Iowa had 5 first downs. They were 0-for-10 on third down, and they won this football game in regulation, trailing 10-0 at halftime.
0-for-10 on third down.
There'll be a rare time that there's so many crazy things over the history of this game of things that have happened, but that's in the top 2% of a loss with what it, not only what the stats were, also what it looked like. Yeah, I'm sitting with Layton and
Layton.
Housemender and my wife and Olivia, his fiance, and at the watch of it was like I even though it was only 10-0 at half, I still felt it was going to be a 27-0 game because the look, not just the numbers, just what you were watching. Mm-hmm. It was like the quarterback. Like I said, we know he's their fifth string. We know he's a walk-on
linebacker. Jackson Stratton.
Yeah.
That was a false reporting. He was never a linebacker.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, there was some false reporting. But fifth string.
Yeah.
He was at one point.
And that's what it looked like. It's what
Jackson Stratton.
It's what it looked like. There right now, I mean, you would have brought Deacon Hill back in a second to play in that game.
He was 8 for 15 for 115. He's very limited.
And the one big pass was the Caleb Johnson swing pass. You broke 13 tackles.
Right. It wasn't like you ripped a couple balls down the field.
He ripped one. He did, and the crowd got really lively when he did it.
He completed a dig route for about 14.
14.
And their best receiver got hurt.
He
got hurt after the play.
You take away the Caleb Johnson swing pass, he had like 40 yards passing.
But what happened, one thing, though, the net yards per punt were 10 yards in Iowa's favor. Special teams were just generally in Iowa's favor, and that made up for a lot. But now they couldn't do anything offensively. They literally couldn't do anything. Yeah. Well, what did Caleb Johnson end up with rushing?
Caleb Johnson rushing the football had only 17 carries for 45 yards, an average of 2.6 yards.
They bottled him up. I mean, they did a great job.
I just kept referring back to the UCLA game when I watched that game. And UCLA just beat him up. I think he had about the same number of rushing yards, 40 yards. And that's why I go.
Yeah, and it was about the same.
And you didn't have, I mean, you were going to be population every down. There's no reason to be light in the box because there
population of defenders.
Defenders. So you were in great shape.
And they were ferocious.
And running backs have to get started. They have to get started. When he got started on the swing pass, then he's a little bit of a threat. But when he doesn't get started, you don't have a threat.
Ooh. Yeah, Nebraska's defense was ferocious. Yeah.
It was.
I mean, they were playing really well, really hard. Then the swing pass happened early in the fourth quarter.
The very first play of the fourth quarter. That was the first play of the fourth quarter.
And he got, now there was a wall of defenders. There's a couple unfortunate things that happened. I mean, he was running over Bullock.
Yep.
I thought Bullock, maybe if you look at the play, like I think maybe if just left to his own devices, Bullock might have eventually pulled him down after getting taken downfield 9 yards. But I think he was going to get him. And then a couple of Nebraska guys went in there and kind of knocked Bullock off. And then Ty was one of them and Singleton was one of them. Ty acknowledged that after the game. And then he got loose. And I, you know, Hartsock had kind of a shot at him, but that was it. I mean, he's a, you're right. When Caleb Johnson gets ahead of steam, it's trouble. No,
it's trouble.
He got ahead of steam there. They should have thrown more swing passes.
They should have.
Yeah, probably so.
I'd have thrown the last
15 plays would have been swing passes. Well, give it a shot.
Yeah.
Just give it a shot.
So there it was. Then let's go Hawks gets really rolling at that point.
But then you thought maybe Iowa will get some momentum here. Up 10. It's 10-10.
10-10, yeah.
And the next two drives, they went three plays,
they had
9 yards, 5 plays, 17 yards punt, and then, of course, the field goal to win the game because
the
strip sack.
Right. It's not just Stratton that's bad. They don't have any receivers either.
Oh, no.
And they don't have a tight end that you could say Luke Lachey is really good.
He's not Laporta.
If you
he's not any of those guys.
He's not
that
any of those guys. Not even close. But if you go back and watch, there was some play, I think it was on a replay, I saw it. And they ran the play action kind of a naked down at the goal line. It would have been the time that they didn't score.
When they were at the four?
Four, whatever it was.
Got a field goal.
And they threw a field goal. They threw a play action pass. And I'm watching the receiver run his route. And it looks, you can't believe it.
What do you mean?
I
was wrong.
How easy it would be to cover. Like you said, they don't have any threats anywhere at receiver.
That's the issue. In addition to a quarterback.
If you took the top.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.25% APY on uninvested cash and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on IRA account contributions. Robinhood Gold provides the privileges of a high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. The new gold standard is here. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold, LLC.
Hey guys, Jake Sorensen from Early Break here to tell you about Cigars International. I've always loved kicking back with a great cigar, especially as the weather cools down. It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch the game, or just enjoy a little fall evening outside on the deck. And when it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International has become my go-to. They have everything, whether I'm looking for a classic favorite or trying something new. Cigars International never disappoints. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, with the biggest selection of premium handmade cigars available anywhere. Cigars International offers unbeatable deals and discounts, making it easy to stock up on all your favorites or try something new without breaking the bank. With fast shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every single order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. But it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Visit CigarsInternational.com today and explore their incredible selection of premium cigars and unbeatable deals. For our listeners only, they're giving you 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping when you use code EARLYBREAK at checkout. That's CigarsInternational.com. Use promo code EARLYBREAK, all one word, at checkout, EARLYBREAK, for 20% off your purchase of $50 or more and free shipping. Whether you're looking for the perfect fall cigar or just want something new, Cigars International has you covered.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Eight wide receivers from Nebraska and say, okay, you guys can take your top five and then Iowa can have your next three. Mm-hmm. They'd be ecstatic. They would be ecstatic. Right. That's the difference of talent level on receiver between the two teams.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, Nebraska's got a lot better skill talent.
Yeah.
Caleb Johnson notwithstanding. I mean, Nebraska does not have Caleb Johnson.
The biggest play of the game.
Nebraska had the best player on the field, I will say that. But their skill's not very good. Nebraska's is better. Nebraska, though, made some just incredibly catastrophic.
Well, so if you talk about the trap, and again,
the trap.
This is a place where Nebraska's had issues in a team they've had issues against in the past. But you feel, okay, overcoming the trap, you score a touchdown with 38 seconds to go in the first half. It's 10-0. That's a good first half. Yeah. Could have been better, but 10-0 at Iowa, you take that.
You're thinking Tampa at that point, right?
And then you have the great first drive of the third quarter. Missed the field goal.
Then the ball started rolling back at him.
But even after the punt that was recovered by Iowa at the four, you hold them to a field goal.
Yeah.
Are you avoiding the trap? Was this a way to maybe get out of the trap?
I didn't feel that way. I felt like they had one foot in already.
Yeah.
Because this is what Iowa does. They just wait for you to self-destruct. It's happened a zillion times in Nebraska.
Yes.
So I felt it after the missed. So what happened on the missed field goal is they skidded skidded the ball.
Looked like it was low and inside, which I've always said you want it, what, right here so the kicker can see it. Right. But then after you saw the hold also, there's been times when that hold and that kick has still been made.
Yeah, you can make
They're still made, but not how the ball was.
Right.
When they showed it back, I'm like, yeah, I guess it could have went through, but I don't know how that would have happened.
It's not really on John Hole. Yeah. It's on the operation. Exactly. And Jake, that's the now you're in. That's what I mean. You're in the trap because Iowa fans could sense it.
But that drive, those 11 plays, 65 yards. You move the ball with ease against Iowa to start the second half.
I know you're right. You're right. You still should have been in business. It's just,
you know, the stat that I'd love to know.
What's that?
I would say it's at least eight. I think at least eight times on first and 10, mm-hmm. the Nebraska ran the ball. And it was second and two or three.
That's a big jump.
The number of times when it was on first down that they ran the ball
well
for extreme success.
Yep.
I mean, extreme success.
They were running it well, particularly in the first half. It wasn't quite as good in the second half.
But
they were running it well. Nebraska's offensive line had three straight pretty good games.
They had a good push.
Yeah, they did.
For most of the game, they had a good push.
They did. I was sort of startled by it.
I wasn't startled on that because you were right.
I was not great defensively.
I go back to they're not that great. I just go back to the UCLA game.
Right.
UCLA ran the ball all over them.
They're not great defensively. They're not bad.
Not bad, but not great. This is, I would say, in the last 25 years, this is the worst Iowa team.
They're not very good, but they're still Iowa.
They still won eight.
That's the thing.
Phenomenal.
They still found a way to win eight.
And they won this game, as Jake pointed out, 0 for 10 on third down. And, how often does that happen? 0 for 10.
Five first downs the whole game.
I saw Nebraska had 20. They had five. Nebraska lost. 20 first downs to five. I didn't even know it until I looked at it after the game.
Yeah.
It's almost odd.
If you go through this, the it's basics not almost of odd. It's like I said, I've never seen a game like this where the who won and who lost.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. Anything that was remotely like
that. That sounds like a lot of Iowa games. We've never seen anything like this. A team be so woeful offensively and find a way to win a game because their special teams are elite and their defense is not great this year, but it makes plays when it has to.
There's three key plays, in my opinion, where Nebraska examples of self-destruction. I'll just go backwards.
Okay.
It was Ben Hart. You can say him by name. I mean, he's making a lot of money. The end edge rushes around him and gets Dylan on Nebraska's last offensive play, which led to the 53-yard field goal. Just raced
Max
around.
Max Llewellyn is his name.
Raced around him. I've watched it five times. Can't let that happen. Dylan's got to protect the ball better, but there's that. The Nayor. I don't know if you'd call that a drop. He just missed it.
He didn't even touch the ball. It's a perfect pass. Great play call by Holgerson and just dropped the ball. Never saw it.
Yeah.
Was it lost in the lights possibly?
Makes you wonder.
Probably. Because I remember when I'm watching it, I said to Leighton, I go, he didn't even slow it down.
No. It didn't tip his hand.
No. It went right through. It wasn't like a drop or like it took two steps and then my eyes got
loose. Now, you were watching it. I couldn't tell live. He would have had a long game. Would he made it to the end zone?
I don't know, but it probably almost seals the win, I would think.
Yep.
Because he was going to go for a ways.
Catastrophic. Yeah. And then the other one was IGC, Isaiah Garcia Castaneda. The way I looked at it, Bill, the punt, the we'll call it a muff punt, it looked like he got caught between hops like a baseball player. Like he wanted to charge the ball. Well, he did charge the ball. Then he backed away at the last second.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
And if he didn't wear poison, which I he didn't from what I've heard, it's live.
He's never going to yell poison, whatever word you want to use. We use the word Peter.
Peter.
He had no time to because he was going to catch the ball.
And then
last second,
good point.
Anytime you call your poison call, I'm away from the ball. I'm making the call.
He had no time to
the ball. I mean, because of the in. And then also when it first happened, the play, I thought he touched it.
I know. I'm sure that's what Vincent Shaver thought.
That's what I thought too. So it was on the appearance. I mean, the Iowa guy was going for the ball.
Right.
Because Shaver's thought. So I'd have a hard time losing. And there was another Nebraska player that went for the ball.
Right.
He just missed it.
Right.
He couldn't get to it.
So the moral of the story and the important thing to note, this is not on Shaver's.
I would put very little on Shaver's.
Right. I mean, it's
very, very little.
I'm sure he thought the ball was touched by the way people were reacting.
The way the reaction looked, and if he had any visual of what happened, how the ball hit, because it's kind of strange that it didn't hit the returner.
I know.
It was more odd that it didn't hit him.
No.
And then as they showed the replay, then they show the second guy come in. I remember saying, I'm like, oh, they're fine. He didn't touch it. And then all of a sudden, that's when Shaver's
the third
came
guy.
In.
The third guy.
He just barely got his hand
he
on did. It, too.
He touched the ball by 0.2 seconds ahead of the Iowa guy, which makes it live.
Yep.
If Iowa touches it, it's over.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's 0.2 seconds.
They hold. Jake's right. They hold. Yeah. Nebraska's defense was magnificent most of the night. I mean, 98%.
They had one bad play. They had one play where they failed to tackle Caleb Johnson, a swing pass, and that's it. That's the only bad play they had all night.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
I mean, the stats are this. Nebraska has, in total yardage, 334 yards. Iowa, 164. Nebraska, 20 first downs, Iowa 5.
Right.
Nebraska, 8 for 17 on third downs. Really good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Iowa 0 for 10, and they lose the football game. 13-10.
Trap. So where I fell into the trap.
Where I thought that Nebraska was not in a bad spot was that in two previous series, they'd fumbled. Rayola had fumbled. And he recovered
back
it.
On top of it.
And then Emmett
fumbled
and recovered it.
In the last series.
That was the last
series. Yeah. So, I mean, right away, it's like, hold it now. There's been two opportunities,
yep.
and it didn't, and it went their way.
Right.
Yeah, you're playing with fire on three.
Yeah, it went their way.
Can't do it a third time.
Yeah, then, God. And Dylan, after his fumble, his last fumble, the fumble that led to Stevens' 53-yarder, he was pointing that he was down. So I thought maybe, oh, he's down. Don't worry about it. And then,
well, that didn't, at the game, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but they called him down to begin with, and then they said, hang on, fumble. And then after that point, they've changed the ruling before they go to the replay.
They said the ruling stands. It's a fumble.
But the referee right away said he was down.
Right.
And then they said, oh, hang on a second. No, Iowa football. Now let's review the play.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah. But it looked to me like it was a legit fumble.
It was a fumble.
Okay.
It was a fumble. There's always some concern whether he had the ball against himself or not, but
it looked legit.
If you flip the script, if you're a Nebraska fan, yeah, it happened the other way, you'd be going completely
and
crazy.
And Stevens just casually makes a 53-yard. Yeah. I can't. He's really obnoxious.
I was watching at halftime. He was kicking to that same end zone.
Was he hammering?
He was standing at the 50-yard line and his own 45, drilling kicks that way. I was like, it's cold as hell out here.
Yeah, he's a dude. He was at
his own 45, drilling kicks down the middle the other way.
And then he was chirping after the game.
Yeah.
But
kicker's talking.
Barely snuck in.
The second one.
Barely snuck in. He made it by like 6 inches.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was weird when on the TV, they showed the shot and it went above the goalpost. And
they screwed up.
You couldn't see if it went in or not. You're like going, I think it went in, but you couldn't tell. It wasn't right down the middle on that.
Had plenty of distance though.
Yeah.
So that was that. Then the wild celebration ensued.
And then you hear in post game the situation from Jay Higgins, the linebacker of Iowa, and there's disappointment. In Nebraska, not shaking hands before the game. We saw a video of the captains going to shake hands. Nebraska players just looked at them, didn't shake their hands. And again, everyone has a thought in this. But
yeah, we don't know why. I mean, there was some thought that, I guess, well, Iowa has armed police guarding the Tiger. Is it called the Tiger Hawk that Hayden Fry?
I don't know.
You know,
Hawkeye.
The Hawkeye at the center of the field. Logo. Yeah, so they do have police guarding it, so Nebraska couldn't do its prayer. We thought maybe we don't know why Nebraska didn't shake. That's just a theory that they weren't allowed to do their prayer because there was armed police. Now I think it's possible they do that every game too. That Iowa has police at midfield. I don't know. There was some discussion about that, so I don't know the ins and outs of it. From what I've heard, it's not the first time Nebraska's captains have not shaken the hand of the opponent. I don't think it's a good look. That's my personal feeling. But maybe there's a reason they don't do it. I don't know.
Yeah, that'll come down. I'm sure you'll have a chance. At some point in time, you'll have a chance to ask and figure out what it
is. Yes, and that'll be asked.
And that's how you'll find out exactly what it is.
I don't know what it is. But a lot of people, Nebraska fans weren't happy about.
Yeah, I would, but you never know when you always say you read about it or comments are made. It's social media. The social media is probably 95.5% of Nebraska fans not happy with the decision.
I don't know if that's
what it truly is though.
I just turned my phone off. I was hearing from so many people.
Yeah,
I did. I just turned it off.
Marty. Marty had his own problems.
Young Ben.
But right now, the Nebraska fans with how it all went down was not.
They're not happy.
They weren't happy.
It's not a great. It's not a good look. It's not. Now there might be a reason for it, so I don't want to go too far down the road of criticism because you can go down that road and then get caught.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real.
Somebody might say something that makes sense.
It's like just talk to the.
We'll see what it is.
Talk to somebody that was there involved.
I don't know what Jake would say, Bill. I'm interested in what Jake would say. My perception is this rivalry's gotten hot.
It felt hot in Iowa City.
I would say this. After that situation and the comments made after that, the only thing I could say was this is kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Because I told you before, Iowa didn't really count it as their rival.
They do now.
And Nebraska is this and to have a rivalry, it means something. And this might also help make it more of a, this turns
It was hot. The stadium,
in the stands, it was definitely testy.
I was one.
Yeah, it was feisty
I thought that both sides. Yeah, I thought that going in outside, just walking around outside, and then after the game, I felt it. And I was down there for the last seven minutes. It's nasty, but I think in a good way. I mean, it's rough.
That's the way it should be.
Right.
Now, because I didn't see anything thrown at anybody.
I don't think
I didn't see that.
I didn't see any of that either. Yeah.
So people yelling and being, that's great.
I know we need it because Colorado, we don't get Colorado every year.
No. You need something like that. You need to have a rivalry where you know what the other team's doing. It's a great thing.
It is a great thing, except I was 1-9 of 10.
In a lot of baffling ways to end games.
Now, here's the thing. I was 1-9 of 10, but if Nebraska would just, like next year, if Nebraska gets them on her home field, it'll just get more intense.
So right away, what is next year's game like? Way more intense.
Yeah.
Than it's ever been.
And it was intense. You can feel it. I mean, rivalry is interesting because you say the word, the word doesn't mean a ton, but you know it's a rivalry. You just have a certain feeling. Yeah, this is a rivalry. You can feel it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's rough.
Yeah.
Rough. I don't know how else to describe it. Intense. A lot of, I don't know. You just feel it. You just know it when it's there.
We have a question before we get to break. From a lot of people are asking this question regarding the field goal, going back to real quick. So Drew Stevens kicks the field goal after a timeout is called.
Yeah.
A lot of fans believe that should have been delay of game on Iowa. Was that the proper no call there, Bill, or should there have been a call for delay of game in the game by the refs?
For the most part, I would not expect a delay of game.
I wouldn't expect that either.
Also, there's a couple things with that in general like that. It was called not right at the snap, but it was called, pretty tight to it. So that's probably not getting called by the letter of the law. You might look, but I just say you don't see it. Right. That's why generally when you're calling a timeout, this is something that I learned from about 10 years ago from a coach. He's like, if you're ever in this situation, he's like, call it prior to them kicking it, which means they're not even ready to quite address the snap. It's kind of like that. He said, because it like you said, things happen to you. If all of a sudden you call the timeout, boom, and they kick it and they miss, then it's always talked about. Mm-hmm. You just don't want to even have the ball ever leave his foot.
Okay.
Because right away, in my opinion, when he kicked it and put it right down the pipe, I go, that's not good for Iowa. Mm-hmm. It's hard to make that thing two in a row.
That's the thing.
So right away I'm going, It would bother you more if he kicked it and missed it. And he's like, okay, I can kind of recalibrate myself. So an example would be of a game that just happened. So Shiano calls it right at the snap against Illinois. And he kicks it, and it's into the wind, and it's short and left. And it realizes, I can't make the field goal.
Yeah.
He puts the offense back on. They throw a touchdown pass.
Oh, boy.
And they would have won the game. But he gave him the opportunity when you do it right at the snap. And generally, you just don't want to live with it, what happened or didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So generally, you always call it pre. Also, they're lined up. They're not even close to snapping it, but they're kind of set. Boom, timeout. Then you never see the ball. Mm-hmm. You don't know what happened.
I had a much more simplistic view of it. The refs wouldn't have got out of the stadium alive.
Probably a good call.
They wouldn't. Yeah. It would have been a scene. So don't throw the flag. I get it. You don't need to in that. Yeah. There you go.
I was at the same hotel as the refs. They were very nice people.
Wow.
What
hotel were you in?
We were at the Residence Inn in Coralville.
Okay.
What did you say to them? Did you talk to them after the game?
No, before the game. I didn't see them after the game. I guess I saw them Saturday morning when they rolled out.
Uh-huh.
Said, see you guys.
See you guys. I'm Jake Sorensen. I'm just here for the
out. Well, I talked to them. I talked to them the day before. So
football.
Before we get to break. Sip, I'm sure you're starving right now.
I had two blueberry bars, but yeah, I'm pretty hungry.
That's a snack.
What else could you have?
Time for breakfast, brunch, or lunch at Early Bird at 19th and K. Breakfast burritos, chicken fried steak, which is what, Bill?
Smothered.
Yum.
Banana pancakes. Yum. Blueberry pancakes.
Where'd that come from? Yum.
And of course, the world famous hash holes.
Hash holes.
Hash holes.
Get them today at 19th and K in Lincoln, are also locations in Omaha and Iowa. Early Bird, free parking, lots of free parking. When we come back, it's time for Head Scratchers.
We
next
got some.
The Scratcher.
On Early Break on the Ticket.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
An O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card is the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. Give the gift of convenience from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.